Turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. As we continue our study through the Bible in the book of 2 Timothy, what a great book it is, especially in the times that we're living even tonight. In the first 9 verses that we talked about last week, we were talking about the hard times that were going to come as Paul is talking to Timothy and sharing with him. Because of the situation that was taking place in the city of Ephesus, where young Timothy was the pastor. And he was very discouraged because of all the false teachers that were coming in and the divisions that were bringing. But most important, it was the false teachings that they were infecting the body of Christ with. So Paul begins in chapter 3, verse 1, and he says, "But know this, that in the last days, hard times will come." And then he gives the characteristics of the last times. "For men will be lovers of themselves," fond of self, "lovers of money, boasters, proud blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers," third time, "lovers of pleasure," rather, fourth time, "lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. From such people turn away, for of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins and led away by various desires." Speaking of these women that they would get caught up with these false teachers and they would go into sexual adventures in the lust of the flesh. "Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And I found something interesting here, that Paul is going to be talking to Timothy about the truth of the Word of God. Here in verse 7, he says, "Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." By the way, there are people that can sit in a sanctuary like this, in a church like this, and for months and for years can sit here and hear the Word of God and at the same time never come to the knowledge of the truth. Very interesting that Paul says that. And the reason is because they have their own agenda. They're not willing to submit themselves to the lordship of Christ. They're not willing to really surrender their life to Christ in such a way where they come to repentance. And they really have a desire to live for God because they see the times that we're living just like today. We are living in very dangerous days in America, not just the world. For the first time in history after 9/11, it could be very possible that in the future of America, because of all the little cell groups we have in America, not only anti-American, but at the same time also like Al-Qaeda that are here, that we could have the same problems that Israel has, the bombings and the booby traps in our own country, where you won't be able to go anywhere, it won't be safe. Those are the kind of days we're living in. And some people don't realize we have in a free country. God has blessed us. I would say my solution would be, as a Christian, yes, pray for everything else, but at the same time, if I was the president of the United States, which I'm not, I would say, you know what, anybody that doesn't love America, let's put them on boats and airplanes and send them back where they want to go. I would say that. And then we can have America back. Because this is the land of freedom. This is the land that God has blessed. And surely there are people that have their own little agenda. And at the same time, in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there are people that are learning but never come to the knowledge of the truth. They don't want to know the truth about God. I was reading the article about the Marines that are being blamed for the slaughter in Iraq for those young women and children. Did you know that's a lie? It's a total lie. What happened is that the actual insurgents went ahead and loaded up that house with all the women and children to use them as backup. And when the Marines came in and they were fired upon, they opened up and they didn't know women and children were in there, so they got killed. That happens in war. It happened to us in Vietnam. You know, it's really important that we understand that the media says so many weird things. And at the same time, as Christians, we have to seek for the truth. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, it doesn't really matter. The matter is we're Christians, believers in Jesus Christ. And we know that people are not perfect. And we know that people say they're Christian by title. And yet those kind of people, they never come to the knowledge of the truth. They don't want the truth to be revealed. And Paul says to Timothy, be careful with such people. They can be dangerous to the body of Christ. He says, just as, verse 8, just as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, and so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, notice, worthless and mentally disapproved concerning the faith of Jesus Christ. They don't really want to know the truth. And then he said this, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifested to all, as theirs also was. Which means what? God is going to end them up. God's going to judge them. And I think this is so important tonight, because we're living not only in the last days, and surely God is blessing us here, because we are a family of God. And for me, it's a real blessing in my life that not only we're able to preach the gospel and to teach God's word, but to be able to see young families and older families here, and watching the children, and watching what God is doing in the Sunday school, and what God is doing even here in the sanctuary every single time we meet. God is on the move. God is doing tremendous things. What a great opportunity God has given to Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs, that God allows a target to be placed on the property on the other side, which means thousands and thousands of people that do not know Christ are going to go shopping there, and somehow they're going to end up here one day. Seriously, it's an opportunity for evangelism. 200 homes up here, 200 more new families. I mean, that's how I see it. That God is giving us favor, opportunity to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with so many people. And yet Paul the apostle here says, Timothy, even though you see these things are happening and there's all these false people, he says in verse 10, now he begins, he says, I want you to follow the truth. I want you to follow the truth. Check this out. Look what he says to him. But you, O Timothy, have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, and purpose, and faith, and long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Wow. That just blew me away when I read that. Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, don't forget who taught you the word of God. Who taught him the word of God? Remember again in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, where his mother and his grandmother and Paul the apostle were the ones to teach Timothy about God. And think of the people in your own personal life, if you grew up in a Christian home, who were the ones that taught you the word of God? Now you came to Christ, and who are you teaching the word of God to your children, to your grandchildren, to your wife, to your husband, with each other? Paul here is saying, Timothy, it is so cool and so good to know that the ministry of the teaching of the word of God is God's holy word here for you today. Thinking of who taught us the word of God. When I think here of the teaching of the word of God, of sound doctrine, what really blesses me is how Pastor Chuck took the time to teach us the word of God. At a time when I was going to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, has just been saved, 24 years old, just a young man, married with two young kids. And going there to the tent, sitting down during the hippie movement, and hearing solid teaching of the word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, and then the concerts and you know, that where evangelism was done, and watching God move through his Holy Spirit. And at the same time, thinking of everything that was taught against every false doctrine that has ever swept the church, like positive confession, the shepherding movement, you see? I mean, there were so many false doctrines. And then you had the Kansas City prophets. You know, in the last 35 years, I've seen so many things. And always when this new doctrine would sweep the church, all of the churches would begin to get stirred up and say, oh, maybe that is the truth. Let's follow it. Let's go learn about it. But yet, Calvary Chapel taught us to stay on course. Stay on course. Everything you do, examine it by the word of God. Is it of God? Or is it just a movement? Because those movements today, they're no longer to be found. Many of them have vanished. Have vanished. And yet it's really important that we understand that Paul the Apostle here was a wonderful example to Timothy. And I pray and I hope that you as a husband, as a wife, or maybe as a grandfather or grandmother, that you're being a good example to your children and to your grandchildren and to your whole family. Especially as a spiritual leader of your home. That's what Paul is teaching here. To be the spiritual leader of your home. Among the Jewish people, when a child was born in the home as a Jew, going back to the Mishnah and to the Old Testament, the child would not just be sent to learn the Word of God. What the parents would do and the teachers, they would teach the children, what they would do is they would make them memorize Scripture and ask questions and give answers to what they were learning so they could know the Word of God. I can remember when I was at the Wailing Wall and they were having a ceremony with some Jewish young kids and the parents were there, the rabbi was there. And the young kid had the Torah spread out like this as the rabbi was looking at the Torah, Moses' five books of the law. And the young kid was standing there and he was in Hebrew speaking out the word of God. He had memorized the books. Memorized them. The five books of Moses. He memorized them. I can remember back in West Covina, my niece, she's now married, has two beautiful children. And I can remember when she was in the third grade and she came up in West Covina one night and she came up to the pulpit and she quoted the whole book of Philippians by memory. The whole book of Philippians. And you see, that's what Paul is saying here. It's really important that we make sure, as Paul is saying to Timothy, don't forget your grandma, and don't forget your mom, and don't forget me, that we taught you the Word of God. You memorize the Word of God. You ask questions, and we gave you answers to the teaching of God's Word. It's very important. That's why it's really important for all of us. I'm so happy to see so many people here at the Bible study. Because it's good for us to be together studying God's Word so that we can grow, so that we can expand our borders. And then you can get a vision. You can get excited. You can learn. And then you can go home and you can teach your little ones. You can teach whoever you go to work with. If they ask you for an answer to a question, you can give them the answers to the questions they're asking you. This is what Paul is saying to Timothy. Timothy, it is so cool to see how God has used me to instruct you. Today, we have a generation that needs instruction. A generation. I love these kids. I love the young people. They're a little bit confused. Sometimes, you know, they really don't understand what really born again of the Holy Spirit is. Remember that book, The Last Generation, Josh McDowell wrote about? That's what it's about. Different terms that they use. It's really important that we teach them from the Word of God what God says about justification, about regeneration, about glorification, about baptism. What He says about the Word of God. See, it's really important that we take the time to study so that we can give out to our loved ones and friends the Word of God, the truth of God. And so Timothy here is being exhorted by Paul. But you, Timothy, have carefully followed. Notice the word follow here literally means to follow alongside. That is, it is to pattern your life after the leader. He's saying, I hope I was a good example that you're patterning your life after my life, because I'm patterning my life after Christ Jesus. That's good. It's really important also to know the people in the congregation, the leaders, that really are making an effect in the young people and in the old people. Because they really see that these men and women are committed to Jesus Christ, and what they say, they live. They're not hypocritical. Of course, we're all human. We all make mistakes. But at the same time, Paul here is saying, look, I gave you a pattern for your life. And that is, the pattern came from the teaching of the Word of God. I got it from Jesus, and I'm giving it to you and your grandma and your mom for very good examples of the faith. Follow that example. And that's what Paul says to us tonight. Follow godly leaders. We don't worship the man. We don't follow the man for who he is. We follow what? Because of what God is doing and how God is teaching his word through that person. We don't idolize anybody. But you can feel safe in hearing the word of God. Very important what he says here. Because there are a lot of ungodly leaders. Ungodly leaders that are leading people astray. There are so many people in the ministry today that all they want is the mighty dollar. You see? The more people, they think more money. But then at the same time, what is our vision? Our vision should always be for more souls for Christ. Our vision should be for our young people, the next generation. How are we going to reach them so that we can pass the baton next to them and they can keep running after we're gone? The gospel can continue on. And the gospel can be preached. And the gospel can continue to be given to the lost in the whole world. And so Paul says here, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. Notice that. Doctrine. The study of sound doctrine. Because there were too many false doctrines going around when Paul was teaching Timothy. And then he says also this, he says, and remember the manner of life, notice the conduct, my daily living. I hope that I was a good example to you in the way I live my life with you, when I was with you. And I hope you're hearing good things about me. That's always for all of us here. Because we can't be watching ourselves 24/7. But it's really important that we understand that God watches everything when we're not here and you're at home or you're in the store or you're somewhere else or working, wherever it may be. God is always watching you. And he's not watching you because he wants to slug you. He watches you because he loves you so much that he can't keep his eyes off of each one of us. That's how much God loves us. And that's what Paul is declaring here to Timothy. Remember not only the manner of life, but the purpose. The motive, my passion that I had for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the passion that I have in my heart for God and for the lost and for missions and for the people. Paul says, don't forget that that's part of the ministry. He says that not only purpose, but faith. Faith, notice this, and also what? Long suffering or patience, and love, and perseverance. And perseverance here is actually, you know, to be patient in circumstances that we face as believers, problems, situations. Be patient. God is at work. God hasn't forgotten about you. Don't get discouraged, but encourage yourself in the Lord like David. When David was totally bummed out, they wanted to kill him, his own people that he helped, because they came in the enemy and took all their wives. David turned from everybody else and he turned to the Lord, and it says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord when everything was falling upon him. That's a good thing to do. To encourage yourself in the Lord always. And then he goes on and he says in verse 11, and remember the persecutions that we faced, persecutions that Paul the Apostle went through. Let me read you some of those things that he went through. Paul just went, he suffered so much when he was shipwrecked and all these things. He lets us know in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 4, actually here, chapter 4, he says this concerning the things that happened to him. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose hearts, but we have renounced the hidden things and shame, and not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world has already blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. That's what we're doing in Las Vegas. We're taking the gospel to shine upon the lost. But then Paul goes on. Notice here, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence and the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, oh yes, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body of the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And notice, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, and grace have been spreading throughout by many, notice, may cause thanksgiving to abound in the glory of God. Paul the apostle went through hell, and yet he says, everything was done for the Lord. The Lord was with me, as the Lord is with you. Then he goes on to say this, afflictions which happened to me, even in Antioch, central Turkey, where the church started. Notice that. And there in Iconium, and also in Lystra. Remember Lystra? Lystra is where the apostle Paul went in to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They grabbed him, and they took him out outside the city, and they stoned him to death, and he actually died and went to heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he tells us his little experience. Let me read it to you. This is where he saw the Lord. In chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, he saw a vision. He says, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, that's when he was stoned, he says, not with marijuana either, okay? Don't get the wrong idea here. With rocks, I should say that. Whether in the body, I do. Somebody will go and say, hey, Paul was stoned. Did you know that? Wow, it's pretty cool. Whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows such a one was caught up to the third heaven. When Paul was stoned to death, his body lay there, but he went to heaven. And when he went to the third heaven, he says he saw things and he heard a vocabulary that you couldn't even have in this world. Check this out. This is so cool. He says, I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was cut up to the paradise and heard unexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except of my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But the refrain rest of anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be and hears from me. And what he goes on to say is this, verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, he says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, notice, as a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I exalt myself above any measure. Paul says, I went to heaven, I came back, and God says, Paul, I'm going to keep you humble. I'm going to send a messenger of Satan and give you a thorn on the side to keep you humble. Because Paul saw a lot in heaven, but there were no words to express it. You see? And Paul says here, There were words that I could not even understand in this world. Paul saw it. And you know what Paul did? He came back to his body. He got up, brushed himself off, and he went back preaching. How can you stop a person like that? Like Paul the Apostle. Look what he says. The next verse. Concerning this thing, I pleaded the Lord 3 times that I might depart from me this thorn, this enemy of Satan that God allowed for Paul to have in his life. Some people say that his thorn in the flesh was his eyes. He was going blind. He couldn't see. If that could be. But if that is true, think of how maybe God allows in our lives some kind of a thorn in our life to keep us humble and to keep us in the Word of God and to keep us trusting in Jesus Christ. He said, what do you mean? Read the next verse. Look what he says in verse 9. I asked him 3 times, but he said to me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect. How? In weakness. Interesting. Maybe you don't have a good, healthy body. You've been sick for the last year. And you say, why would God allow this in my life? Why not? My grace is sufficient for you. See what Paul's saying? My grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes God will allow things like this in our lives to keep us simple, to keep us humble. And that's why Paul, talking to Timothy, says here, look at, remember what happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, especially in Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Persecutions I endured. Why? Because Paul not only was shipwrecked 3 times, he was beaten 3 times, and yet God said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul. Paul, I am with you. You have me in your life. And then he says this, what persecutions I endure, and out of them all, underline this, the Lord delivered me. I like that. Who's going to deliver me? The Lord. Maybe tonight you're feeling down, you're depressed, oppressed by the enemy because of what you're going through tonight. Listen, there is light at the end of the tunnel. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Don't get worried. God will take care of you. He will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, this is everything that happened to me, and yet the Lord delivered me out of all things. The Lord is my strength. And then in verse 13 to 17 now, he says this, continue in God's word. Verse 12. Yes. And all, here's the key, and you might not want to underline it. Yes, and all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Whoa. It's a guarantee. A guarantee, people. If you're willing to surrender, if you're willing to repent, if you really want to live a godly life, then expect all hell to break loose. Expect it. Persecutions, trials, temptations. You see? Paul here is warning Timothy, if you live godly lives, then expect to be persecuted by other people saying, oh, he thinks he's too righteous, you know? Don't hang out with that person. They're holier than thou. Be careful of people like that. Maybe they're seeing something that other people don't see. They're seeing Christ in you. And I'm not saying that you act self-righteous, but I'm saying if you just live your normal life in the Lord, and you read and you pray and you fellowship and you do what's right, you don't try to steal, you don't try to lie, but you correct yourself when you do things like that and you do what's right, then God's going to bless you. But at the same time, people are going to hate you. Especially when you speak truth and you don't compromise in the kingdom of God. Paul says, Timothy, if you never compromise, people are going to hate you. They're going to hate you. And they're going to talk about you. And then what else? Verse 13. But I want to warn you, Timothy, but evil men and imposters, interesting word, and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Isn't that something? It's not going to get better. Notice, these are the oppressors of the church. They will become worse and worse and worse before they ever become better. They're never going to get better. They're going to become more perverted. They're going to become more into themselves, self-righteous, evil, saying things that really hurt people without apologizing, without repenting, very cold-hearted. He says, those are going to be in the last days. It's going to happen, Timothy. And then he said this, but you, Timothy, must continue in the things which you have learned. Notice that, which you've been taught. Timothy, don't forget how you went to Bible school. Don't forget how you were in Sunday school. Don't forget your grandma when she sat with you and taught you the scriptures. And when he's talking about the scriptures, he's talking about the Old Testament scriptures because they didn't have the New Testament yet. So here, Paul again says, look, Timothy, you need to fight for the truth of God's word no matter what happens. That's why we're fighting today for the inerrancy of God's word. That God's word is the true word of God. There are no mistakes. There's nothing wrong with God's word. And yet they're always trying to say that the Bible cannot be believed. Like the story of Mary Magdalene, the Da Vinci Code. Total false thing. You see? Only a story. And yet here Paul tells Timothy, look, Timothy, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing this, from whom you have learned them. Remember when your grandma and your mom and I told you about heaven? That when you die, you don't become non-existent? You don't come back as another animal? But what's going to happen? You're going to come back. No, you're going to go to be with the Lord. The moment your body dies, your spirit automatically goes to be with the Lord. And if you're not a Christian, you go to hell. Don't forget the things we taught you about the resurrection, about the cross. Don't forget about salvation. Don't forget about redemption, justification, sanctification. All these things that they've been taught, the Word of God. Don't forget who you learned them and how you learned them. Make sure you stick to the truth of God's Word. Notice again the importance here of having good teaching, you know, through the Word of God. If you have good teaching, you know what's going to happen? You're going to live godly lives. You're going to live godly lives. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to convict you. If you're a real child of God, the Holy Spirit will convict you if you're not living right. That's why many times here at Calvary Chapel, in any church that teaches the Word of God, we've had them come. When the Word of God was actually being taught, I've had people come to me, husband, and say, hey, did my wife call you up about my problems? I don't even know you. Don't even know you. I'm sorry. Well, you were talking about me today. I said, I wasn't talking about you. Maybe the Holy Spirit. You see? Why? Because when we're teaching the Word of God, the pastor teacher is explaining the Word of God, but in the teaching of the Word of God, the gift of prophecy is being exercised, the Word of wisdom and the Word of knowledge while the teaching is going on. And that's why people get convicted sometimes. They think, oh, my wife's snitching on me. No, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart to get right with God. Or you'll be hearing something as you're sitting here, and the Holy Spirit will just prick your heart and you'll go, wow, man, I never felt bad about that. But now I do. I remember when I came to Christ. Before I came to Christ, I didn't feel bad about my adultery. I didn't feel bad about things that I did, evil things. But when I got saved, immediately, lying, cheating, I used to, you know, cheat on my income tax. And when I had my Kung Fu studio, he said, how can you do that? I did it. And I got saved and I got convicted. You see? But it wasn't, nobody told me, oh, you know what? The government's going to get you and you're going to do that. No. You know what happened? The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And the first thing I said, you know what? I'm paying my taxes to Caesar because I read it. And then I'm giving to God what belongs to God. And you know what? I've never had a problem. Because you know what? You have to be obedient to the Word of God. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. Everything you're taught since you're little, Timothy, is going to help in your teenage years, in your adulthood, and even in your old age. If you're obedient to the word of God and you keep to the truth of God, how can you go to the left or the right? You'll never do that. You'll stay on track according to the word of God. And then he said this, verse 15. Here it is. And that from childhood, notice here, again emphasizing the importance of moms, dads, grandma, and grandpa teaching children. Teaching children in their level. Watch what he says. And that from a childhood, you, Timothy, have known the holy scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, which are what? Which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, when you were taught the word of God, you made a decision to receive Christ through repentance. You see? That's how you came to the Lord, Timothy. Because of your grandma, because of your mom. Because of the teaching that was given to you in the Old Testament. And then the Holy Spirit worked in your life and you came to what? To become wise unto salvation, because you learned about hell and you learned about heaven and you were wise to choose heaven rather than hell by being born again of the Holy Spirit. That's what he says to him. Timothy, you're up with it. Watch this. And then from a child, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And then again, what is he saying here? That the kind of man that really, truly is a godly man will have a strong home. Will have a strong home. Why? Because he has a teaching home. He has a home where they teach the word of God. Your home will be strong when the word of God is taught. When the husband takes the Bible and reads it to their families and prays with their families, you will have a strong home and a strong family. You're building a foundation, not of sand, but of rock. The rock is Jesus Christ. So here he says it again. Verse 16 again. All scripture, here it is, the inerrancy of the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And number one, it is profitable for doctrine. Notice, for truth. Number two, for reproof. Number three, for correction. You see? It corrects you. And for instruction. Interesting. Here it is, everything that the Word of God does. Number one, doctrine. Number two, reproof. Number three, correction. Number four, instruction in what? In righteousness, how to live right for God. The Word of God, Genesis to Revelation. Genesis to Revelation. The importance of the teaching of the Word of God, but also the inspiration of the Word of God. Inspiration, illumination, and revelation. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Listen to what he says. This is so cool about inspiration of the Word of God in Revelation. 2 Peter. 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Right before 1 John. And if you have my Bible, page 1312. Okay, here it is. Verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to listen to, as a light. Notice inspiration here. As a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, notice, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Remember when the Catholic Church used to say, you can't read the Bible because you can't understand it. So they would speak in Latin. No, it's of no private interest. Anybody can read the Bible. Anybody. Watch this. Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of men, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved. By who? By the Holy Spirit. There was nothing holy with Peter, James, and John, and Paul that wrote the Word of God. It was the Word of God. The power was not in them. The power is in the Word of God. God instructed them. God spoke to them. And they wrote down the Word of God. He says, so you think that the Bible is the Word of God? Yes, 100%. This is God's Word. Now, the reason there are things in the Bible, when you study bibliology and you're actually reading it, you have a center column or a side column, and they have, you know, scripture there. And sometimes they tell you that this is not in the literal translation. There are copyist errors. When they were copying the manuscripts, there was a copyist error. The Bible has no error. The copyist made the error. You see? God doesn't make mistakes. So they give you, in the center column, they'll tell you this is not in the original language. That's how you see that. But every one of the words in here is the Word of God. Look what he says again. All scripture, God's revelation to men, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. And watch this. That the man and woman of God may be what? Complete. Fulfilled. Through what? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. What does he say? If you study the Word of God, you take it upon your heart, then what's going to happen? You're going to educate yourself, and then God is going to be able to use your life because you know the Word of God. You know the actual author of the Word of God, Jesus. You'll know him. And as you know him, you can tell others about Jesus Christ. That's the importance of God's Word. Father, we pray tonight and we want to thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercies. Father, for these beautiful, wonderful people, Lord God, that are here tonight. Lord, we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that, Lord God, you would continue to speak to us in such a way, Lord God, that change would come daily in our lives, Jesus. And Lord, I pray this evening as those watching through the internet, and Father, those that are sitting here tonight, God, if there's anybody visiting with us, or you've been here before, or somebody brought you here tonight, and you're not a Christian, then tonight you've heard a lot. And the best way to come to that place of knowledge and truth is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Allow the Holy Spirit to come into your heart and begin to illuminate your mind and your heart as you begin to read the Bible, and God will speak to you through the Word of God. But the first thing you have to do is you have to admit that you have sinned against God. You are a sinner, like all of us. Secondly, you need to get rid of your sin. How do you do that? By repenting of your sin. By telling God you're sorry that you've done that. And then when you say you're sorry, then he will forgive you. But at the same time, by faith, you put your trust in him and you ask him to come into your heart. And when you do that, he'll come in and he'll sup with you and you with him. And you will become now the temple of the living God. He will live in your body. And he will keep you. And then what he'll do is he'll give you eternal life. That if you were to die today, you would go to heaven. He'll even write your name in the book of life. No one can get their name in the book of life until they repent, until they come to Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here tonight that wants to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we're going to worship. As we worship, we want you to get up out of your seats and to come up here to the front of the stage here, and I'm going to pray with you. Male, female, young, old, I don't care who you are. We're going to worship now. You get up and you come, and then we're going to pray for you. Father, we're so thankful for these that have come. And Lord, we pray for each one of them individually, Father, that you would have your way in their hearts and their lives, Jesus. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me. Pray with me out loud this prayer. Repeat after me. Make it your prayer and receive Christ tonight, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, some literature. See that guy right over there? Go ahead right over there. You guys turn around and go right over there. Cool. That's neat. All right. What a blessing.